Today, you're gonna hear a report about Belarus. The post-Soviet country is next door to the European Union, but on the other hand, it is far away from any democratic standards which are common in Western Europe. Instead of political analysis, you are going to hear people who suffer political persecution in Belarus. Most of them have been imprisoned. Some of them were forced to leave their motherland since they are forbidden to study or to work there. Persecution of critical voices by police, KGB and judges seems to be an effective instrument for the Belarusian regime for to control 10 million citizens. Who would like to lose the job for giving an interview? Who would like to be imprisoned some years for spraying a political graffiti? Who would risk exmatriculation for taking part in a protest? Such things happen in Belarus, and the majority of the population knows that. They know that people lose everything when they break the silence. Only a minority is fearless enough for to take such a risk. We met some of them in four different countries. In several cases, it was necessary to protect our interview partners with anonymity and the distortion of voices. In this report, you're gonna hear about political prisoners. One of them is on hunger strike since 50 days. Two former political prisoners will speak in this report. You're gonna hear about 11 youth activists who are recognized by Amnesty International as prisoners of conscience. Two of them told us about their destiny. You're gonna hear about female activists who are struggling for freedom in Belarus. One of them, Yana Palyakova, was hunted to death in March 2009. Finally, we met journalists who were forced to leave their motherland. They are producing TV and radio programs for Belarus, but now from abroad. Officially, there are no political prisoners in Belarus anymore. At least, this is the version of EU Commissioner Benita Ferrero-Waldner. What is the point of view of the Committee for Defense of the Repressed in Belarus?
We think that there are three people who are now in prison, and we see real political situation in their case. These people were accused before and they were sentenced before, and before they were recognized by Belarusian human rights defenders like political prisoners. They were released in 2007, but now they're again in prison. They're already in prison practically for 4 months. And they're accused in destroying property, actually. The property that was destroyed in 2005, and some people was already sentenced for this case and already in prison, and the victims of this case had no claims to these three people, to Nikolai Abduhovich, Yuri Leonov and Vladimir Sipenko. But these three people are now in prison, and actually nothing happened during them in prison, no interrogation, nothing. And one of them, Nikolai Abduhovich, he started hunger strike on April 16th. And his only demand now is he wants authorities to send his case to court or to change the measure of restraint.
Can you tell us more about this man when he started this hunger strike and how is his state of health?
Actually, we don't really know the situation of Nikolai Abduhovich in prison because it's really not a lot of information. Some time before, it was no letters from him. Several days ago, his lawyer visited him, and we know that he's in prison hospital. He has very bad tests, and some problems with his liver started.
Officially, the former political prisoner Nikolai Abduhovich is in jail again because the Belarusian authorities consider him to be an ordinary criminal. It seems that this became the usual method for to cover up when citizens are arrested for politically motivated reasons in Belarus. For this estimation, there's another example, the so-called Case of 14. In January 2008, 14 civil society activists were detained during a peaceful demonstration in Minsk, and later all of them became involved in criminal cases. One of them, Andre Kim, was in prison until August 2008. The other 13 activists, however, have to suffer the consequences of harsh sentences until today. These are the names:
Татьяна Цишкевич,
Михаил Субач,
Антон Койпиш,
Михаил Скривов,
Александр Стрельцов,
Михаил Пашкевич,
Влад Сергеев,
Артем Дубский,
Максим Дашук,
Алексей Бондар,
Павел Виноградов,
Олесь Чернышов,
Олесь Борозенко.
11 of these people were sentenced to restriction of freedom to terms up to 2 years. In May 2009, they were recognized by Amnesty International as prisoners of conscience. We met two of them, Alexei Bondar and Tatiana Tsiskevich.
Belarus is a strange country. I think we hadn't even realized that it became independent. I feel Belarus as in jail. It's a main hard emotion for me.
Коли раптом чуешь коммунальные пахи, житё тебе возьмёт петлю. Зразумеешь, что ты, что три чарапахи, по-ранейшему тягнуть землю. Коли выйдешь у город, ты залезешь у горы и с людьми усталюешь контакт. Зразумеешь, что ты, что и сёння, и учора, наше место на трёх китах.
I was sentenced to 2 years of limitation of freedom, and I prefer to live now outside of Belarus because I know I can do much more things for Belarus and for Belarus freedom here. Belarus is a European country. Our neighbors are Russia, Lithuania, Poland, Ukraine and Latvia.
Шумилую маму треба у розных краях побывать.
My name is Alexei Bondar and I'm proud to be a Belarus because in my country there are very good people. I love these people.
Hey, la 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 la, ты не чакай, сюрпризов не будет. Hey, la 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 la, никто не чакает, и ты не чакай.
I want to be a freak and I want to do some interesting things for my motherland.
Hey, la 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 la, ты не чакай, ты не чакай.
We are not political organization, we are not a violent organization. We are social initiative. We try to do our society better and we want to win this Soviet fear in Belarus. We want Belarus to be a normal European country. I invite European people to visit Belarus and to see its beauty and its kind people. People must know what is going on in Belarus.
Я Татьяна Цишкевич, мне 20 годов, я скоро до Минска сбежала.
My name is Татьяна Цишкевич, I'm 20 years old and I come from the city Minsk in Belarus.
В Украину по программе для репрессованных студентов, бо с одного боку, бо не могу уже учиться на Беларуси.
I came to Poland by a program for repressed students because I'm forbidden to study in Belarus since I was exmatriculated there. So it became impossible for me to achieve a diploma in my motherland.
По кримінальній справі процесу 14, так званий, і мені дали 2 роки обмежування волі, і це для мене буде весьма тяжко, лише вище того, що я займаюся конним спортом, а то не укладається.
On the other hand, I was persecuted criminally and sentenced to restricted freedom during the case of 14. I'm equitarian, and it's impossible to continue my education as sports instructor when I'm sentenced to house arrest. These are the reasons why I left my motherland. I was forced to do this.
Праця, дом, дом, праця. За 3 порушення до 2 років позбавлення волі.
In Belarus, I'm forbidden to do anything. I'm allowed only to be at work or at home. At home or at work. Three notices would mean I would be sent for 2 years to prison. Such notices are received for being belated, but when I don't open a door for a militia officer who wants to control me at 1 o'clock in the night. Even crossing a street at the false spot would result in such a notice. Any 3 of such notices would mean 2 years in jail.
Татьяна Мишкевич,
Артем Дубский,
Алексей Бондар,
Александр Стрельцов,
Михаил Пашкевич,
Олес Борозенко,
Антон Койпышев,
Михаил Скрылов,
Максим Дашук,
Павел Виноградов,
Олесь Чернышов.
Generally, I'm restricted in all I want to do. I can't visit my friends, my parents. I can't do anything. I'm out at home. I'm in home jail. My day is work and my day is at home. That's all. Work home. Home work. We have special department police, and this police can control me every time. So they can visit me at home, at work, at night. And if I would have 3 or more notices, I would be in jail for these 2 years. And really, I don't want to be such a zombie in Belarus.
In March 2009, the human rights defender and lawyer Yana Palyakova was sentenced to 2.5 years of restriction of freedom.
Yana was one of the members of the nomination group of Olga Kazulina, who was candidate on this parliament election. And Yana, she's from Soligorsk, but she came to Minsk and she actually gathered the majority of the signatures that was necessary for Olga's registration. And after this, she returned to Soligorsk, and KGB officers and militia tried to invite Yana several times to their offices and to speak to her, to find more about her participation in elections. Yana rejected to do it without special summons. After this, she was actually attached in the city center and transferred by militia to the office, where she was offered to sign some paper that she can't actually read. The office prohibited, they closed the text of it, but they just ordered her to sign it. And when she refused to do it, they beat her hands. She was really in a shock. She tried to run away from this cabinet and they beat her legs. So she fell and so she called for medical help. She was transferred to hospital. And after this, she submitted a complaint to local prosecutor office and asked to initiate criminal case against the officer who beat her, but the local prosecutor office answered her that there's about 7 witnesses from militia who can prove that this officer Pugachev, who beat her, met her in the city center and that she already came to the office with these blessings. And after this answer, she decided to submit a complaint to general prosecutor office, and she went to the post office to send a letter, and at that moment, just near her house, some unknown man caught her by her hair and hit her by the door. And he said something like she should stop all this, otherwise it will be worse. So she again called the medical service from the hospital. She was taken to a militia officer office where she supposed to give explanation about this case, and actually she was very rudely treated in a militia officer again, and they made very rude jokes about her, and she refused from hospitalization finally, but she's in a very difficult psychological situation because she is actually in a human rights defender sphere from 2000, and she herself considered her to be ready for everything, but this situation made her really stressed, and she's quite, I think, feel herself in a very unsafe way now. She's living with her mother and actually on her mother, who is quite old, the pressure also was made.
Do you think this is connected with the parliamentary elections which were held in September?
It's one of the connections. I mean, she was fiercely pressed because of her participation in parliament election. And actually, she was beaten fiercely because of this, but this officer who beat her now may face up to 8 years of imprisonment. I think that this second case, this more to hide this and make her silent about this.
This interview was recorded in Minsk. The interviewed person is a lawyer who was informed personally by Yana Paliakova how she was persecuted by militia officers in Zaligorsk since October 2008. In January 2009, the authorities launched a criminal case against Yana Paliakova, accusing her of providing false accusations about actions of militia officers. On 3rd of March 2009, the human rights defender was sentenced in Zaligorsk to 2.5 years of restriction of freedom. 3 days later, Yana Paliakova committed suicide. We ask former political prisoners about the role of women in the struggle for a democratic Belarus. And we ask mothers in Belarus what political persecution means for their children and their family.
I could say about Irina Kazulina, the wife of Kazulin, because I considered her the real hero.
Irina Sadovskaya.
Yes, we have Katerina Sadovskaya. She was in prison. She actually second woman political prison in Belarus.
У нас на Дали збивают женщин и детей на мирных акциях протесту. То, что у нас выгоняют, протягивают выгонять детей со школьного, чего не было в советские часы, это свидетельствует о том, что белорусский режим не готов на либерализацию.
We have Татьяна Тишкевич, who is one of the from the case of 14th.
Вона була збита на протягу 3 місяців літерально 3 рази.
She was beaten many times in demonstration and she was practically during 3 months she was beaten several times.
У нас надалі.
They continue to beat up women and children in case they are participating in peaceful protest actions. They continue to expel children from their schools, something that didn't happen even during Soviet times. This indicates the Belarusian regime is not ready for any liberalization.
During last election campaign, parliament election, human rights defender from Zaligorsk, Prikova Yana, she was also beaten by militia officers and she submitted a complaint to the prosecutor office and after this she was beaten again.
У нас надалі збивають жінки на мирних акціях протесту, то що у нас выгоняют, протягивают выгонять детей со школьного, чего не было в советские часы. Это свидетельствует о том, что белорусский режим не готов на
либерализацию.
Кристина Шатикова, she is a democratic activist from Могилев, and our authorities tried to take her children out of her.
У нас надалі збивают женщин и детей на мирных акциях протеста. То, что у нас выгоняют, протягивают выгонять детей со школьного, чего не было в советские часы, это свидетельствует о том, что белорусский режим не готов на либерализацию.
Эмира Броницкая, якая полгода отсидела в тюрьме.
I'm not going to translate it.
Translate it, please.
Эмира Броницкая, who spent half a year in prison.
They continue to beat up women and children in case they are participating in peaceful protest actions. They continue to expel children from their schools, something that didn't happen even during Soviet times. This indicates the Belarusian regime is not ready for any liberalization.
We have such women and unfortunately there are a lot of them.
our daughter is the only reason why we all the time think probably we need to leave this country. But then the only reason why we stay here, because we need to show them how people need to act in a situation like we have in Belarus. When we have a dictatorship, you cannot stay beyond the attack. You could be stay only on one or another side. Both of them usually participate in all street actions with us. And when we got arrested, they were arrested with us. When police came to our apartment, a younger daughter said, "Okay, guys, you came to arrest my mom, so I'm not 12 years old, because according to Belarusian law, the mother cannot go to jail if you have small kids." So she was very educated already at 5 years old. So this is the main role of parents, to educate your children the way they should have a moral position according to your country and your friends and your family.
Dass mein Kind jetzt immer noch Nervenzucken hat, nachdem wir zu Hause.
My child still has nervous attacks since the search at our home. After this, he was scared to open the doors. The female chief officer who controlled this police search, she beat my hands in front of him. She tried to pull papers out of my hands. I tried to hold them, and then the officer beat me up. And all this happened in front of my child.
Sie sind 6 Uhr gekommen.
I came at 6 in the morning. I tried to make my son sitting in the kitchen. I gave him food and something to paint. But he just wanted to be with me, because he was scared when he saw there are unfriendly people doing something in our house. Of course he was scared. He was always next to me, near my leg.
Und danach hat nur davon gesprochen, dass
after this, he was permanently telling that gangsters were at our house, stealing our things, and that we never ever should open the doors when foreign people are coming. It was a shock for him, and he is still shocked.
Собаку, Петьку, забияку, обезьяну, попугая. Вот компания какая.
His mother, not really understood why her son suffered.
because, for example, from 17 to 20, he was detained practically every 3 days. And when he was 21, he was sentenced. And definitely she suffered, but like all mothers, she also support him and she waited him.
Czarkowy raz. Kładzie wieter na gazo, gdzie siadam fraz. Стякают мой каменный сок крыху, а в дым, что так радует...
In our final part, you gonna hear journalists who were forced to leave Belarus. Now they are working in Warsaw for the European Radio for Belarus or the satellite TV channel Belsat.
On the 27th of March, I sure remember this date. The agents from KGB came to the office and they just took off all the computers, all our equipment, so we couldn't work anymore there. And everybody came here in Warsaw to work from here. It's a bit like traveling, because I live in another country with another language, other people, other money, and it's new experience, and maybe even I can say thanks to our government and the KGB agents that I have an opportunity to work here now.
Сучасних годов, йому серце живе, йом живе у голове, шмат кого, хто у городе Минску живе.
Belsat ist in Warschau, weil es einfach unmöglich wäre, durch einen Sender in Belarus zu machen.
Belsat is based in Warsaw, because it's simply impossible to run such a TV station in Belarus, because it's an independent TV station where things are reported, which a governmental TV station never would report.
Das heißt, Dinge, die dem Staat und der staatlichen Politiker nicht gefallen.
That means it reports news which the state and many representatives of the state would not like.
Wenn der Hauptsitz von einem Sender in Belarus wäre, dann hätten wir keine Chance überhaupt zu überleben.
If the headquarter of Belsat would be based in Belarus, we wouldn't have any chance to survive.
Радио вещает из Варшавы.
Radio broadcast from Warsaw, Poland.
Потому что радио европейское.
Because the European Radio of Belarus is not given by the authorities official accreditation, so all the work in Belarusian territory is not legal.
Все зарегистрировать официально радио на территории.
Our main challenge is that Belarusian authorities refuse accreditation of our people or our regional office in Belarus.
What is the greatest obstacle to this radio station?
Отсутствие демократии на территории
Беларуси. Lack of democracy in Belarus.
I miss my friends, because the thing that ties me with Belarus are my friends. I always miss them, and when I am in Minsk, I always meet them. We spend all the evenings together. Because I know that next week I will be in Poland and I will miss them.
Что, конечно,
цель,
это был поворот
на
Беларусь.
Yes, I always think about this possibility, but I don't think that it's possible nearest 10 years maybe. We are trying to get license, but the ministry doesn't give it for us, so we have to work here in Warsaw. But maybe if such a lucky day comes when we will work in Minsk, it would be great, because I wouldn't hide, I wouldn't say that my name is Vitalina Grachowska, because I will say my real name, and it's my dream.